flag recently upon a child born in 2011. Reaches to the age of 17, your parents will have spent at least $300,000 on that child.
这个小孩子如果他抚养到17岁的话呢，大概要付到至少30万的钱来抚养他。
That doesn't even include college.
还不包括大学的费用。
I already paid for college tuition, 35, 40, 50, go to Ivy League school. I want to say that kids cost a lot more than $500,000 when it comes to those parents.
所以呢，我们是要讲的说，这抚养一个小孩子呢，大概至少要花到那个半的那个million，就是大概50-60万的价钱。
And what it really costs is a lot of commitment.
甚至呢，还要那个很多的那个时间。
Which brings us to today. Today is Father's Day. Some of us here today who are dads can identify with a song by Stephen Taylor. His song is titled, Since I Gave Up Hope, I Feel a Lot Better. I want to tell you, the rest of you, that when we fathers look in the mirror in the morning, we think something like this. We think, hey dude, you're doing it all wrong. And all you dads will be honest and say, I look in the mirror in the morning and say, hey, dude, hey, dad, you're doing it all wrong. And the question is, should we be saying that as Christian fathers? You see, our culture today tells us that men are the problem. Men are the problem. But the question is, how does God view us? That's what I want to talk with you for a few minutes this
afternoon.
I want to base my thoughts this afternoon on a very familiar story in John chapter 9, the story of the healing of the man born blind from birth.
这个信心呢，是按照了约翰福音的第9章里面的这个一个故事，是讲到这个人是生出来就是瞎眼的。Okay,
we're going to read John chapter 9, first of all, verses 1 through 3.
首先我们要念的是经文约翰福音第9章的1到3节。As
he, Jesus, went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in him, and then, of course, he heals this man.
约翰福音9章1到3节，耶稣过去的时候，看见一个人生来是瞎眼的。门徒问耶稣说：“拉比，这人生来是瞎眼的，是谁犯了罪？是这人呢？是他父母呢？”耶稣回答说：“也不是这人犯了罪，也不是他父母犯了罪，是要在这身上显出神的作为来。”
And now drop down to verse 24. We're going to read 24 through 28.
下面呢，我们再来看第9章的24到28节。
For the second time, they, referring to the Pharisees, the second time, they summoned a man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God by telling the truth. We know that this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." Then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How "How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "I have told you already, and you do not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples?" Then they hurled insults at him, and verse 34, they threw him out of the synagogue. Recently wrote an article titled, "What Kind of Father Am I?" And in this article, he looks back upon his career parenting four sons. He started his article by telling of an experience that he had when he was a very young dad and had one child, a three-year-old boy. One day he was working in his woodshed when all of a sudden his three-year-old son came in and said, "Look, Daddy," and he was very proud. His three-year-old was cradling in his arms the largest rat that the father had ever seen. So, being the dad, instantly he grabbed to get that rat and pulled out of his son's hands before that rat bit him because maybe it had rabies. When he reached to get that rat, it stiffened and it showed its menacing teeth, so he backed off because he didn't want the rat to bite his three-year-old son. And at that point, his three-year-old son said, "Daddy, look, the rat really likes me." And the dad said, "Yeah, I can see that it really likes your son." And he's thinking, "If I can only get my son to put this rat down on the ground, I'll whack him with a shovel and kill him." Save his son from getting bit. All of a sudden, Mom enters the picture. Look, all of us who are dads here today can identify with this. When you can't figure it all out, Mom always comes to the rescue, right? Mom, who had been hearing this conversation, came up to her son, little three-year-old Jimmy, and said, "Honey, let's find something to put your pet into." I would never think of calling a rat a pet, but, moms are clever, and so that's what she did. And he said, "Well, that's a great idea. Let's find a box so that you can put your pet into this box." But that even as he was looking for a box to put it, he felt really guilty because he's thinking, I'm leaving my wife with this rat that could bite our son. He felt really guilty as a dad. But finally he found a box, and he goes back and he says, okay, son, put your pet into this box. But his three-year-old said, no, no, let's make a bed for my pet. So quickly, Dad picked up some rags and put them in the bottom and said, okay, now put your pet into this bed. But the little three-year-old says, no, no, I want something really soft like my favorite blanket. And so he made the mother go out and cut a little piece off the favorite blanket and make a nice soft bed for this pet. Finally, little Jimmy put his rat into the box and put his father put his mat on right on. Now then he turned to his son and he said, did your pet bite you? And his little three-year-old said, no, he kissed me. And kissed me as I instantly, he started to scrutinize every square inch of the child's body to see if there were any bites or any scratches so that he could find out if the child might get rabies. Meanwhile, he called the health department and said, what should I do? And they said, it's too late to close. But bring in the rat tomorrow and we'll check it out to see if it has rabies. But guess what that rat did? It gnawed its way out of that wood box and escaped that night. So when the dad got up the next morning and was going to take that rat to get it tested, it was gone. And he thought, what am I going to do now? How do I ever know whether that rat had rabies? Look, many of you dads here today can identify with that story because we too, as fathers, have thought, you know, how can I protect my children from not only literal harm, but from spiritual dangers that could endanger my child. We feel powerless many times. So we go back to that mirror again and again and we say, hey Dad, but let's have a Q&A session with Jesus this morning, this afternoon, a question and answer session. Let's ask Jesus, Jesus, what do you think of me as a dad? Jesus, do you think that I'm doing it all wrong? Am I messing everything up?
Well,
get some fascinating insights into what Jesus would say to us dads if he were here this afternoon. I want you to get the scene. We're told that Jesus and his disciples are walking along one day when all of a sudden they see this man who has been born blind. And instantly, what do the disciples do? They start to trash this guy's head. What do they ask? They ask Jesus, by turn to Jesus and say, who sinned, Jesus? Did this man sin or did his parents, by which they really meant did his dad sin? What does Jesus say in answer to this? Look, if anyone had the right to turn to this guy's dad and say, produce a tremendous long list, this guy's dad sinned here and here, produce this huge long list of sins, Jesus could have done it, right? Jesus could have easily said about the Father, look, he's fallen short here, the glory of God has fallen short here, the glory, and made this long list, actually trashing this guy's dad. But he doesn't do that. Instead, I want you to get what he says, verse 3. He says, listen to this, neither did this man sin, nor his parents, nor his dad. This happened so the work of God could be displayed in this man. For just a few minutes that remain this afternoon, I want to unpack this story, and I want us to notice three characteristics of this man who was healed, because these three characteristics both challenge and encourage all of us dads here this afternoon. Okay, the first thing I want you to notice is that this man was quick to admit that he was way over his head at times. Verses 24 and 25, where we have the Pharisees firing question after question after question at this fellow. I want you to notice how he responds. He basically throws his hands up in the air and he says, hey, I'm no authority on the Bible. I'm no authority on Jesus. He quickly admits that he's way over his head. But I want you to notice this guy had one thing going for him. He had met Jesus. Those of you who ask, many times you'll feel, man, I'm way over my head. I just don't know what to do. But I'll tell you, if you have met Jesus, and if you're in direct contact with Jesus, that's all you need as a dad to be a successful dad.
So,
时候，你就是会想到说，这是神才是你的子女。
That brings me to a second observation I want you to get about this guy.
这里呢，再要去告诉你，就是这个人的故事告诉我们。
He started out way over his head, but he was a quick learner once he started.
他一开始的时候呢，是不知所措，不知道怎么办，但是呢，他立刻就明白了他该怎么来面对。
I want to ask all of you men a question. Where or how are you going to invest the last half of 2012?
那这里呢，我们要问大家一个问题，就是说，在接下来的2012年的下半年，你想要怎么来度过这个时间？
I want to urge you guys to invest in quick growth. To really start growing in the second half of this year.Growing in your knowledge of Jesus Christ and growing in your relationship with your wife and growing in your relationship with your kids.
那我要就是叫这些父亲们啊，希望你们在下半年的时候呢，能够在灵性上能够有所发展，能够有所增长。那你们在跟太太和小孩子的关系上能够有长。
But one of the biggest dangers when you try to start to really grow will be the danger of getting distracted.
在你希望说能够要那个增长知识的时候呢，就是属灵上面的那个靠近神的时候，一定会有被就是分心的事情。
They did some interesting studies recently in brain imaging to.Analyze something that we know as multitasking. You know what multitasking is, right?
那最近呢，有一个研究，就是说那个研究人脑他们在同时做很多事情的时候的一种情形。
You guys, when you're multitasking, do you realize that you're making yourself dumber?
在有没有发现说，你常常在你那个同时要做很多事情的时候，其实你就变得笨笨的。
When you multitask, it is estimated that you lose at least 10 IQ points.
在你那个同时想要做很多事情的时候呢，也许那个时候你就会少了10分的那个 IQ 的智力的分。
Actually, what happens is you're training your brain not to be able to focus, right? And you know what happens? Eventually, you become 40% less efficient.Whenever you try to focus. So as you grow in Christ this year, focus. Focus on your growth in Christ. Focus on your wife. Focus on your children. I want you to notice that this guy moved from being just a fan of Jesus to being a follower of Jesus.
希望你说从一个耶稣的那个仰慕者，就是那个慕道友，能够真正做到一个信耶稣的那个跟随者。
There was a tremendous temptation on the part of this man to keep his mouth shut, right? Because if he just kept his mouth shut, he would have been thrown out of the synagogue. A tremendous temptation to keep his mouth shut, but he didn't. He spoke up for Jesus Christ.
当这个瞎眼的人他在受到攻击的时候。他也许可以说选择他不出声不讲话，在这样子他就不会被那个赶到那个教堂外面。但是呢，他没有选择这样做，他而是为了耶稣基督，他做了见证。
Guys, again, if Jesus would sit down with you this afternoon and to ask you to define the nature of your relationship with Him, would you say?
我要问一个问题，就是如果说今天下午耶稣基督坐在你旁边，他来问你说你和他的关系是什么样，你会怎么回答
？I tell you, a lot of us would say, Jesus, man, I'm a real fan. I think he's really cool. But he doesn't want to hear that. He wants to hear you say, I'm not just a fan of yours. I'm a follower of yours.
那也许呢， 是他的跟随者，是坚定的跟随者。
And one of the characteristics that will start to develop in you if you're a follower of Jesus Christ is you will not be able to keep your mouth shut. You'll be forced to start to speak up for Jesus Christ.
所以呢，如果你是个跟随者的时候呢，在任何时候你就不会说在大庭广众的时候不出声，而是会作为耶稣基督的那个见证人。
Most of us here today have heard of Tim Tebow, of course, the quarterback. And just this last week, one of the announcers for ESPN said to Tim Tebow, he said, listen, as a second string quarterback, you ought to be seen but not heard. ESPN wasn't telling him to keep quiet as a second-string quarterback. They were saying to him, be seen but not heard as a Christian. In other words, as a Christian, Tim Tebow, why don't you shut up? Tim Tebow said, I'm sorry, and I'll shut up from now on. Just kidding. In fact, Tim Tebow is speaking today at David Jeremiah's church out in San Diego. David Jeremiah was a classmate of mine at Dallas Seminary. His dad's name is Bob Tebow, and back in 1992, Bob Tebow established an orphanage in Mindanao in the Philippines. If you know anything or read anything about his dad, Bob Tebow was just as crazy as Tim Tebow. In fact, whenever he'd get on a bus in the Philippines, he'd stand up and he'd preach. He'd preach Jesus Christ to everyone on the bus, and everyone had to listen to him. And he'd give an invitation. He'd give an invitation for people to accept Jesus on the bus. One time he decided that he was going to go into a very dangerous section of the Philippines where there were a lot of terrorists, and his buddy said, don't go in there because they'll kidnap you. You know what Bob Tebow said? He said, if they kidnap me, no big deal, I'll witness it. And sure enough, they tried to kidnap him, but they couldn't catch him because he's like a NASCAR driver. He just left them all in the dust as he went away. All I say to you guys, look, Jesus gives you permission to be a man. A real man. And he wants you to be a man, not just to be a fan of his, to be a follower of his, to speak up for him. And if you do it, even though you feel like it, you're way over your head at times, I guarantee you, Jesus Christ will use you guys. So, I want to tell you today, is
that you want to follow Jesus Christ, if you can firmly follow him, he will use you.